Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 36, question 99. What is required in the third commandment? That we must not by cursing or by false swearing, nor yet by unnecessary oaths, profane or abuse the name of God, nor even by our silence and connivance be partakers of these horrible sins in others. And in some that we use the holy name of God in no other way than with fear and reverence, so that he may be rightly confessed and worshipped by us and be glorified in all our words and works. And then question 100. Is the profaning of God's name by swearing and cursing so grievous a sin that his wrath is kindled against those also who do not help as much as they can to hinder and forbid the same? Yes, truly, for no sin is greater and more provoking to God than the profaning of his name. Wherefore, he even commanded it to be punished with death. In Lord's Day 36 of the Heidelberg Catechism, the two questions really focus on the third commandment in terms of setting out what does the third commandment mean for us? How do we apply it to our day-to-day life? And then question 100 has to do with the severity, with the seriousness of this commandment, or maybe I should say with the seriousness or severity of breaking this commandment. And one of the reasons that so much attention is focused on that, and then of course the following Lord's Day we'll return to the third commandment, is that knowing the name of God is a great privilege. Being called by God's name is a tremendous gift that is given to us, and it's a gift that then comes with a certain responsibility. Now, that is expressed, of course, in the sacrament of baptism, when the Lord Jesus gave the Great Commission instructing his disciples, his apostles, to baptize others. He specifically spelled out that we are to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In baptism, we see that God's name is given to us. God's name is stamped upon us, if you will. We are now identified by that as belonging to the triune God. Knowing the name of God, using the name of God, in other words, speaks of a relationship between us and the Lord. And that's why the Catechism emphasizes the seriousness of this particular sin. Because if you've been brought into covenant with God, if you're associated with him, if you're called by his name, then disrespect, failure to worship, profaning of God's name is that much more aggravated of a sin. The guilt of it is heightened because of the nearness of our relationship to the Lord. In other words, let those who name the name of Christ depart from iniquity, as Paul would express it, writing to Timothy. We belong to the Lord. That means that we have an increased, a heightened, a doubled obligation to serve him, to worship him, to honor him. And so for us who bear his name, whose name has been invoked over us in baptism to curse and swear, that's not a little thing. It's a betrayal of the relationship that God has been so gracious to give to us. The Catechism also mentions, of course, that we should do our best to discourage this in others as well, to forbid and to hinder it. And that always has to be understood according to our calling and station. It's not necessarily appropriate for a five-year-old to call out somebody very much older and in authority over them in sharp language about, hey, you shouldn't say that. Although sometimes they're the ones who are in the best position to do so, correct? But it's something to bear in mind that we live in a society that is just characterized by cursing and swearing. Not only should we not further it by getting on the bandwagon, but we should come up with a appropriate, polite way to exhibit some displeasure when this is what's going on all around us.